Continuing our series on seven I am statements of Jesus in the book of John. And we have said that all that God wants to do for you can be found in these seven statements. He wants to do things for you in your life. And not only what he wants to do for you, all that he wants to be to you can be found in these statements. And I have said that the I am changes who I am. Say that with me. The I am changes who I am. Now let's quickly run through them in John chapter 6 verse 35. Brother Blue, if we're ready, just thumbs up. Jesus said what? I am the bread of life. John chapter 8 verse 12. He said, I am the light of the world. John 10 and 9 tonight. I am the door. Now go to John 10 and 11. I am the... That's next. Then John 11, 25. I am the resurrection and the life. And then John 14 and 6. I am the truth, the life. And then finally John 15 and 1. I am the true vine. And so far we've talked about, he said, I am the bread. And then he said, I am the light. Tonight, I am the door. You're on the threshold of something great. Would you stand with me tonight and let's go to John chapter 10. And I'm going to read a few more passages than I normally read. John chapter 10 verses 1 through 10. If you're there, say amen. If you're on your way, say amen. If you love the Lord, say amen. If you love our pastor, say amen and his wife. John 10 verses 1 and 10. I forget which one of those Scott boys back there and said this morning, said, Brother Ricky, yes, sir, I love my pastor. Amen. I said, I love him too. Amen. John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth. And the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Verse 4, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not the things which he spake unto them. Then Jesus said unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Say that with me. I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Verse 9, say it again. I am the door, and if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might, woo, glory, have it more abundantly. Oh God, you are the great I am, and the I am changes who I am. Anoint your servant to preach tonight, and God will give you all the praise and all the glory. And everybody said amen. As you're being seated, tell someone you're glad to see them tonight. Jesus said, I am the door. Now the I am the door and the I am the shepherd are tied close together. But I want to focus on the door because there's a unique application that can be made. In fact, one of the most troubling scenes of the 1997 movie Titanic is that moment when the water begins to gush in the bottom floors. And the people on the bottom floors are trapped because they're not allowed to go to the second and third floor. They are low-class passengers. And there's a scene in that movie where there's some men standing at a door or at a gate that is shut. And they're pounding on the door saying, let us go up. And the men are saying, no, you can't go up. You're not allowed to go up. And it's a very disturbing scene. And they eventually knock down the door and they forcibly tear down the gate and make their way hoping for safety. And my friend, when it comes to salvation, when it comes to safety for our souls, when it comes to the freedom of our sins, I want you to know tonight, you don't have to pound on the door. You don't have to fear that somebody's going to be there blocking you. You don't have to tear it down because Jesus is the door. And all we have to do to be saved is enter in. The door is open wide. The ship of this world is sinking and the waters of sin are flooding. But the door is open. He is the door to health. He is the door to prosperity. He is the door to healing. He is the door to deliverance. He is the door to restoration, Paul Jackson. He is the door. He is the way. He said, I am the door. And let's come on in tonight and rejoice with joy unspeakable. Give him a hand of praise that you don't have to knock it down. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, it's wide open tonight. That spiritual door is wide open. I want to enter in, enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. It's not a do not disturb sign. It's not bolted and locked. It is open tonight. There's a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. He said, I am the door. Say that with me. I am the door. Shout it with me. I am the door. And I want to give you three things tonight about the door. It speaks, point number one, of distinction. Somebody say distinction. He didn't say, I am a door. He said, I'm the door. And this was significant because he said, I am the door. People talk about, well, there are many ways to God. That's like saying there's many ways to Westmoreland. Well, there's really only one way to Westmoreland. You got to get on Tillman Road. If you get on I-95 and head south, you're not going to find Westmoreland Church. You're going to go somewhere else. If you try to fly a plane and they tell you to go to Gate 53 because that plane is going to New York and you're wanting to go to New York, if you wind up at Gate 52, you might be going to Cancun. But you might rather go there. Not every door is the door. I want you to know he is the door. Can you say amen? Now you got to understand we're talking to Jews here. You got to understand that first of all, just the fact that he says I am resonates to the Jews because they were brought up reading about the I am of the burning bush, the I am of Moses. And so when he says I am, he is rubbing them wrong. He's getting into their theology as he should. He was saying in effect, anytime he says I am, he is declaring unequivocally. He's not apologizing for it. He didn't make an error or a snap judgment or maybe a misquote or maybe something slipped his mind. When he said I am, he meant it. He is the I am. He is the great almighty God. He is the eternal son of the living God. He was not created. He has been forever. He is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. He is the I am. Somebody say amen tonight. And they knew what he meant. But did you think too about the Jews know about that tabernacle? And I was trying to get a picture, and I didn't have a chance to get it for you. But the tabernacle in the wilderness. And you are Christian, most of you are Christian students, and you understand that in that Old Testament, they didn't have a church like we did. Everything was in that tabernacle. And you know about the Shekinah glory that come down on the mercy seat and how the priest sacrificed animals. Say amen or not. And there was the brass altar. And then there was the brass laver where they would wash. And then they'd go into the holy place. And in the holy place, there would be some old hot, fresh bread. Oh, six loaves on one side and six loaves on the other side. 66. You know how many books of the Bible there are? 66. Glory to God. I'm telling you, there's the candelabra, the seven golden lampstand, and the light in that room was not the light of this world, but the light representing the other world. And then there was that table of incense, and then there was that curtain, that veil, and behind the veil was the holy place. And there was the angels looking down on the mercy seat, and the blood had to be applied. And when God was satisfied satisfied. The glory would come down. The priest would not be able to minister. Oh, what, isn't that a beautiful picture? And if you look, if you do a drawing of it, and you look, the way it's laid out, you have the, just follow my finger, you have the holy, the most holy place, the altar, mercy seat. Then you have the altar of incense, then the candelabra, then the table of showbread, then you have the laver. You see what I'm forming here? It looks like a cross. Hallelujah. And when Jesus died on that cross, he fulfilled it. Somebody, because he is the door. Amen. I'm getting ahead of myself, because you couldn't get to the brass the brass altar and offer your sacrifice. You couldn't get even which the priest could only go beyond that point, but even they couldn't do it until they first entered a door. And there was a door outside that temple, that tabernacle. And now, if somebody wanted to climb up on the other side and offer their sacrifice, no, they were disqualified. They had to come through the door. And I'm here to tell you tonight, there's only one door. If you want the glory, if you want the favor, if you want the covenant, there's only one way where God can meet, where God can accept sacrifice. There's only one access to his presence, only one access to his power, only one access to his provision. They had to go through the door. Jesus said, I am the door. I'm distinct. I'm not a way. I am the way. I'm not one of many options. I'm the only option. There's not other doors like on a television daytime game show. Door number one, door number two. There's only door number one. Hallelujah. His name is Jesus. Muhammad is not a door to God. Buddha is not a door to God. Your good works, you think, might get you the door to open the door, but your good works will slam it. And I don't care how much money you give. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how much better than your neighbor is. And they're something, and you think you're better. No, sir. There's only one door of distinction, and his name is Jesus. There's no way to miss it. Oh, listen. This is good. Because the one thing about that Jewish temple is the door was easily identifiable. When somebody wanted to come and meet God, they didn't have to have a council meeting, a board meeting. They didn't have to pass a law in Congress and say, which way do we get into this place? It wasn't it was not in any way hindered. You could see exactly. God comes to our level. It's not hard. Oh, my friend, it's not complicated. It's not, we're not blinded to it. And it's easily available. It is accessible. It is identifiable. There's no way to miss it. There's the door. And if you'll enter in, you can be saved. Has anybody entered into that door? Well, why don't you rejoice tonight that you saw it and you didn't have to worry about people. You didn't have to worry about what somebody said. You didn't have to ask questions. That's the way, and you went through the door. It was distinct. Can you say amen? He said, I am the door. It was a statement of distinction. And we need to tell our young people that there is a difference between Christianity and Islam. There is a difference between Christianity and other religions. We need to tell them we have a distinct belief. Well, what gives you the right to say that your religion is the way and everybody else is on the wrong way? Because he's the door. He's distinguished. And everybody else, they claim they're the door, but they're not the door. They're a door, but they're a door to hell and not to heaven. Can you say amen? It speaks of distinction. Somebody say amen. It speaks of distinction. Number two, when he said, I am the door, it speaks of protection. Once again, let's go back to the Jews. Let's go back to that time period when travel was not like it is today, and when we could just scoot down the highway and find us a nice hotel off of the highway and whip out our card and go to a comfortably clean room and a safe building. No, sir, if you were traveling in those dusty highways, robbers would be along the way waiting for weary travelers. And God forbid if the sun went down and you were out and then you would go into a city And in the city, they didn't have hotels. They would have inns and places. But how many of you know sometimes they would get full, like with Jesus? Remember Mary and Joseph? It's very, very dangerous to. In fact, you can read the story in the book of Judges, how a man was in danger of being out in the streets at night. And it was hospitality because they knew that if they could, and they would knock on a door and hope. We're traveling. Do you have room and board? Can we lodge for the night? Why? Because it's dangerous out here and we've got our family here. We've got our valuables here. And if the Jewish, and they were the law of hospitality, they would allow visitors or guests to come in just simply because to keep them, it was almost an act of murder to not allow them to come in. And so when they came in, they were protected. They were provided for. And my friend, I want you to know when you came to Jesus, He is your protection. He is your provider. I know the sun is going down in this old dark world, but come on into the house. There's a table spread. Oh, I want you to know where the saints of God are fed. And you can come into the place of protection. Can you say amen tonight? And too many people have knocked on the wrong doors looking for safety. They've knocked on the door of some girlfriend or boyfriend thinking, oh, if I'll be in their arms, everything will be all right. And then they'll only be disappointed. And people have knocked on the doors of money. And they've said, if I can just make money or earn money or get money, then I'll be protected. What happens when Wall Street crashes? What happens when people commit suicide because their stocks are liquidated? They are in the wrong door. Oh, but there's safety in the door. In fact, I wanted you to think of it like this. I was Googling, I am the door. To see if there was somebody else who had a picture of the door and of Jesus being the door. And there were several pictures that came back on Google Images. And they would be these rooms where a door was open and a light was shining through. And I thought, well, that's right. You know, He is the door. But I looked at those different ones and just like that. I looked at one like that and I thought, something's not quite right about that though. And I started to use it. Because it says, I'm the door, and there's the door, and it's open. It's okay. But it doesn't quite convey what I feel like we need to convey and what Jesus was conveying. Because you need to think of Jesus saying, I am the door, not as some pretty door in a room. Because in my mind, I'm thinking, I can go in it. I can stay where I'm at. But what if there was a fire in the house? And you know, in restaurants and in businesses, in fact, many years ago, somewhere down the southern part of the state, the chicken house processing plant down in the southern part of the state caught on fire. This was about 30 years ago, caught on fire. And you know, when a building is on fire, you know, you can't go out the front door because it might be blocked. But Brother Baker, you may have to follow me, but you know, throughout the building, they're supposed to be by code emergency doors. And the problem with that 30 years ago is that they had an emergency door, but it was blocked. They could not unlock it. And people literally burned to death, pounding on a door that could not be opened. And my friend, I want to tell you, that's okay. That's fine. But I want you to understand when Jesus said, I'm the door, we got to understand we're in trouble. The devil's on our heels. We have sinned from the moment of our birth. We were born in sin and the house is on fire. We're in danger. This is not an option. Well, I'll choose the door and I might be okay and I'll stay here. No, sir, bro. You've got to understand. And aren't you glad tonight? In fact, when you go to Best Buy or you go to any restaurant or you go to any place, there's a little sign here that says for emergency use only. And then there's another phrase. It says push and it will open. Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad tonight that in the emergency and the fire is burning? Aren't you glad that He's the door and you don't have to be blocked? It's not locked, but you just push and you're safe. Somebody give Him praise here tonight. It's protection. It's protection. It's protection. And there's no way to miss it. The signs are pointing. Jesus is here. He is the door of distinction. He is the door of protection. Oh, Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 9, I am the door, but if you enter in, you will be saved. Push here and you're safe. The thief, he comes not but for the what? Kill, steal, and destroy. But I never tied that together until this message. We quote that scripture. I am come that you might have life and life more abundantly. But just before that says, I am the door. That means you can come on in and God will protect you and God will provide. Say amen. And then finally, it speaks of distinction. It speaks of protection. And that door speaks, thirdly, of decision. Of decision. Because when you think of a door, you think of a decision. Am I going to go through it? Or am I not going to go through it? Remember that scene in Titanic? The water is rising and there's a door. But let's put a different twist on it. Instead of this door being locked, that door is able to be pushed. So what are you going to do? You've got a decision to make. You've got your wife and your children. And the waters are rising. You've got a decision. Turn around and tell somebody, it's decision time. You've got a choice to make. And I want to tell you, we people worry about and fret over what career they're going to choose, which you should. You should think about it, pray about it. And people fret about their spouse or who will I marry or what will I do with my 401k and what will I wear and what will I do. But my friend, the greatest choice in life is not a career. It's not even a race. That's an important choice. These are important choices. But the greatest choice you have tonight is who you what door you choose to walk through. In fact, E.V. Hill was an African-American preacher. And I'm telling you, you go on YouTube and you Google E.V. Hill and you listen to one of his sermons, he'll preach you into the glory world. I promise you. Great orator, preacher. And he preached a sermon. It's probably on YouTube. I didn't check. How to pick a savior. And I want to close this message talking about the door and choosing to go to the door. And use the points of his message, how to pick a savior, or how to make sure you pick the right door. E.V. Hill in that sermon said, you better pick, there's a lot of saviors out there. There's a lot of people that claim to be your savior. There's people who claim if you marry them, they'll save you. If you'll invest this, you'll get saved. There's false prophets out there. David Koresh and the guy with the hellbop coming. They are saying that they would be your savior. The fellow down in Ghana, Jim Jones, he said to be their savior. So there's a lot of things and a lot of people that are claiming and wanting to be your savior. So if you decide to pick a savior, make sure you choose wisely. Because first of all, you better pick a savior that can meet you where you are. Woo! Bishop Hill said, if I'm in California and I'm on the hospital bed and my savior is over in Texas and he can't get to me, that ain't a very good savior. I need a savior. Oh, won't it preach, pastor? That'll preach, my brother. I'm telling you, you better pick a savior that can walk into the hospital room when you can't even lift your feet. Pick a savior that can meet you where you are. Oh, give him praise if he's ever met you in the midnight hour. I'm gonna throw this one in, but your car may break down, but he can meet you where you are. Give him praise here tonight. Pick a savior that can show up in the fiery furnace. Somebody say amen here tonight. You got a decision to make. Pick a savior that'll be good to you. You think about what Jim Jones did. Now, many of you are not old enough to remember the Jim Jones. He's a fiery preacher, and he went to California and went down to Ghana. That's right. He was a crazy man, but he had followers, and he told them to drink some Kool-Aid. Kool-Aid. Kool-Aid, and mothers were giving it to their children, and there's screams. You can hear the screams and the agonies. This History Channel does a program about that. It's very chilling and very sad to watch. I want to tell you, their Savior wasn't very good to them. He just ruined their lives and sent them to a flame of hell. When you pick a Savior that'll be good to you. Oh, don't pick a fella named the Hell Bop Coming. Don't pick Muhammad and don't pick Buddha. Those people aren't very good. They want you to die in a trade towers. They want you to give your sons. They're not very good. But listen, why don't you choose Jesus? Because let me tell you, He'll be good to you. In fact, He won't ask your sons to die. Oh, God said, I'll send my son to die for your sons. Oh, He's a good Savior. Can you say amen? You need a Savior that could pick you up. In fact, I had a preacher friend of mine that went overseas to India, and he said that they had many gods in India, and they had a lot of saviors to pick. And they picked one of these gods, and he was a huge statue. And they had to move him, that statue, to another location. And my preacher friend said, I watched as four men with strong backs picked up that God and put him on a truck and transported him. And he looked and said, oh, they have to carry their God, but my God carries me. Is He a good Savior? Have you picked a good Savior that can carry you through and bring you to? And He is the door tonight. My God carries me. Hallelujah. And I want you to pick a Savior that can do one. This is very important. The Savior you pick, he or she better be able to handle death. Guess what? We're all going to die. As I've said before, one day you're going to be the guest of honor at the funeral home. Think about it. Well, David Koresh, in 1993, he died and all of his followers in flames of fire and had the nerve to blame it on the government. It was the president's fault. And I wasn't for that president at the time, and I don't know that they should have done all that they did, and there were mistakes made. But at the end of the day, he could have escaped. He could have took his people to safety. He wasn't a good Savior. And he died, and we hadn't seen a hide nor hair of him since, have we? Because he said, when I die, I'm going to come back again. He ain't come back again. He ain't never going to come back. He's refined and confined to the lake of fire because he was a false Christ. And think about other Saviors, Jim Jones, different ones. They're dead. How are you going to handle death? Well, my Savior, He died too. They crucified Him on a cross, a cruel death, and they put the crowns of thorns on His head, and they put the nails in His hands, and He died. And the Bible says that He really died, and the sun became dark, and they said, they laughed and rejoiced, and they said if He were God, He would save Himself. Well, let me tell you, one day went by. The next day went by, but on that early third day, let me tell you about my Savior. They went to the tomb and they found that the stone was rolled away. Oh my God. Well, He was here yesterday. We saw Him. Where is He at? And the angel said, come see the place where He is not here, for He has risen. I'm glad I got a Savior that can handle death. Oh grave, where is your victory? Oh death, where is your sting? I am the door. And when we die, I'm the resurrection life that's coming. We are going to be with Him forever and forever. My loved ones are already there. Amen. Pick a Savior. Pick a Savior. Pick a Savior. It's a decision time for us tonight, America. It's a decision time for every mother, for every father. You've got to choose the spiritual things. And I'm talking about Jesus and the door being salvation. But I'm also talking about that door to a deeper spiritual life. I'm talking about a gateway we've been preaching about. I'm here to tell you that we've got to focus on heavenly things. And it's amazing that you mentioned God chasers, because just the other day I was listening to the 1999 Falcon Camp meeting, and Bob Bailey said, you ought to read that book, God Chasers. And I thought, you know what? I hadn't read it since 1999. I'm going to pull it out and read it again. And amazing that you mentioned that. You know what? There's a door open. Door speaks of fellowship. Oh, my friend, He will open the door, and we can dine and we can sup with Him. Oh, my friend, we need to be in His presence. Can you say amen tonight? Brother Clark, if you'll come. There was a young man. I closed by telling you about a young man. I mentioned him the other day in my sermon. He was raised in the Assemblies of God. He was in the youth group. I didn't know this. His parents went to church, but not regular. Once in a while. And they didn't take their son to church, but someone took him, and he was in the youth group, and he could sing. He had a wonderful voice. And no doubt, as a youth in that Assembly of God church, no doubt he would sing gospel music. No doubt his youth pastor, no doubt his pastor opened the door to him many times and said, come, make a decision. But this young man, we never know why. Probably one reason why he wasn't as inclined to follow Christ was mom and dad were cool to it. You understand, mom and dad, when you're cool, whatever you do, your children see. If you're unforgiven, they're going to be unforgiven. If you're lax about church, they're going to be even more lax when they're adults. Who knows why he didn't go through the door. But other doors did open to this young man. Doors of fame and doors of opportunity and doors of, and he catapulted to the top. In fact, to this day, they still call him the King. His name, Elvis Aaron Presley. He went through the wrong door. You would have thought he had everything, but he became depressed and oppressed. And at age of 42, they found him dead. The Bible says the thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. And Elvis Aaron Presley, and ironically, his home place is called Graceland. He died right at the threshold of the door. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, God's got a plan for you. God's got a plan for our young people. Don't play with sin. Don't think we're trying to be self-righteous and pompous. I'm telling you, we want you to turn from your evil ways. Turn from those destructive habits. Turn. There's a door open, and it'll be life, and life more abundantly. Jesus said, I am the door. Shout it. I am the door. Shout it again. I am the door. Why don't you stand and give him praise? Because he's a good Savior, and you've walked through that door, and God has blessed you, and you've got life more. Oh, there's protection. There's distinction. There's a provision, and tonight there is decision. Lord, we love you tonight. We love you tonight. Just go ahead and play and sing whenever you're ready. We love you tonight. That door of grace is open. Sing it with us tonight.
That saved a wretch like me.
The door is open. The door is open.
I once was lost, but now I'm found.
I was blind,
but now I see.
Through many dangers, toils, and snares.